Hi, you are listening to the Conflict and Development in Africa podcast. This podcast is for policymakers, governments, researchers, students, businesses, and anyone that is interested in conflict and development issues in Africa. On this podcast, we hear from experts from across Africa and the world. Your host, Dr. Michael Wangpa, will ask the questions you would want answers to. Michael Wangpa has an extensive experience spanning over a decade studying, researching, writing, and consulting on conflict and development issues in Africa.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Conflict and Development in Africa podcast. I am your host, Dr. Michael Wangpa. Today we're going to be discussing a very important topic. We're going to be looking at the climate crisis of Langue de Barbarie at the historic coast of the city of St. Louis in Senegal. I'm joined by two important guests. First guest is Mamadou Sa. Mamadou Sa is chairman or the chair of the Environment and Resource Protection Committee of the St. Louis Artisanal Fishermen's Association. So Mamadou is the chief fisherman in St. Louis. And I'm also joined by Dr. Jesslyn Lemke, a friend and a colleague. Dr. Lemke is a fellow with us, and she's also an international journalist. She's going to also be helping to interpret, translate Mamadou's statement that's going to be given in French. It's a pleasure to have you both join me, and I look forward to this conversation.
Thank you. Thank you. We're happy to be here today, Michael. Je suis content d'être ici.
Okay, let's start off. So let's just start off with the genesis of the situation. So what is the genesis of the crisis? We've seen reports, we've seen human rights reports, we've seen a lot of reports about the flooding in St. Louis. Tell us about, first of all, let's start off, where is St. Louis? Where is Langue de Barbarie? Where is it located, and what is the? Let's start off now. What is the situation? What is the genesis of this?
Sure, I can. I'll start us off, and then I will ask him to. Ils disent que quelle est l'origine de leur problème et où est Saint Louis. Mais moi, je vais parler en anglais et puis je vais passer la question à toi.
D'accord.
So Saint Louis, Senegal, is right on the coast of the northern part of Senegal. It's directly on the Atlantic Ocean on the beach. There's a small 60-kilometer wide stretch of land called the Langue de Barbarie, and for many, many years it's been home to thousands of fishing villages directly on the ocean who rely on it for the fishing industry. And it's a very thin strip of land, and it's very vulnerable to climate change, and it's slowly flooding. And so maintenant, Mamadou, je vais traduire pour toi. Quelle est l'origine du problème pour ce qui se passe à Langue de Barbarie? Qu'est-ce qui se passe là-bas?
Bonjour à tous les personnes qui nous suivent actuellement.
Hi to everyone who's following us.
Comme vous m'avez présenté, je suis Mamadou Sarr, je suis pêcheur.
Everyone who you've already introduced me, my name is Mamadou Sarr, and I'm a fisherman here.
Je suis né de famille pêcheur, de père pêcheur et de mère pêcheur.
I was born into a family of fishers. My mom and father were both fishermen.
La Langue de Barbarie, c'est une terre, c'est une bande de terre coincée entre l'océan Atlantique et le fleuve Sénégal.
The Langue de Barbarie is a strip of land between the ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, and the Senegalese River.
L'activité économique principale de la Langue de Barbarie, c'est la pêche.
Most of what we do for our economic activity out there is just fishing.
Donc tout ce que je trouve ici, que ce soit les bâtiments, la richesse, c'est le poisson qui est la source de revenus.
Everything you see here, the buildings, our wealth, anything, all of our income here comes from the fish.
Le problème, c'est que depuis en moyenne presque une trentaine, non, vingtaine d'années, ça va faire bientôt 20 ans, la langue babaï subit beaucoup de problèmes.
For about the last 20 or 30 years, the langue babaï has had a huge amount of problems.
Et ce sont des problèmes qui ont changé notre façon de vivre.
It's really changing the way we're trying to live.
Ce sont des problèmes qui ont changé même les êtres humains qui sont là.
It's even changing the human beings and our character of the fishermen who live there.
Et ce sont des problèmes qui sont liés dans un premier temps au changement climatique.
It's all related to climate change.
À les régions côtières.
And to coastal erosion, which is eroding the beaches out there.
C'est que la langue babaï avant, c'était protégée par une nature, c'est protégée par des dunes de sable.
Before, the langue babaï was protected by a really long stretch of sand.
Donc, il y avait un barrage entre nous et l'océan.
Yeah, there was a really big like dam between us and the ocean.
Mais depuis 10, 15 ans, 20 ans, la mer y a pris une partie de la langue babaï.
But now, because of the rising ocean, a lot of that sand is gone and the beach is smaller now because ouais. The ocean is higher.
Les forêts ont disparu. Les dunes de sable, la mer a tout emporté. La mer a même emporté des habitations là où les êtres nous vivons, notre communauté.
And so the first strip of houses directly along the Langue Babaï has been flooded and washed into the sea. And so for miles and miles, you can find half homes or homes that have totally been torn into the ocean. That first 10 or 20 feet of housing is just gone now.
Donc ça, c'est un problème.
That's a huge problem for us.
Et okay. Au fur du temps, maintenant, d'autres problèmes sont apparus.
Parce and que, a lot of other problems have arisen now.
C'est que nous, en tant que communauté de pêcheurs, l'abondance qu'il y avait avant, on n'a plus. Il n'y a plus de poissons.
We had so much abundance before all this began happening. We were a really rich region economically. And now, because there's so many less fish, all of us are really struggling and it's slowly falling into poverty. Our community is falling into poverty.
C'est une conséquence même du changement climatique.
And it's a consequence of climate change.
Ouais, c'est que l'eau de mer, ça change. Et quand ça change, le poisson ne peut plus vivre dans ces eaux-là. Et donc, il s'éloigne.
Even the salinity of the water is changing, and so the same species can't do well, and they're leaving too.
Mais depuis 2019, 2018-2017, il y a un autre phénomène qui est apparu, c'est le gaz.
And in 2017, 18 or 19, something else came. They located an enormous natural gas station directly off the coast of our fishing grounds.
Oui, c'est parce que le Sénégal, ils ont découvert un énorme gisement de gaz qui est ici au niveau de la langue babaï.
Yeah, they discovered an enormous field of natural gas in the directly off the coast of the fishing beaches in 2017.
Voilà. Donc, lorsqu'il a fallu maintenant exploiter ce gaz, le Sénégal et la Mauritanie, ils ont créé un projet qui s'appelle le projet GTIA, Grand Tortue Armée.
And so the government of Senegal and Mauritania decided to get together, the gas corporations got together and built a natural gas plant off of the coast that they call Project, comment c'est pas?
GTIA.
GTIA.
Grand Tortue.
Grand Tortue. Yeah, they call it the Greater Tortue.
Ahmayou.
And you can see it off of the beach. If you're standing on the beach of Langue Babaï, you can see it on the horizon. It's enormous. It's only 1 kilometer offshore. And it is causing all kinds of problems.
Voilà.
Because they built it over a fishing reef where a lot of the species were reproducing and laying their eggs. They built it on the richest fishing breeding grounds. And it destroyed the breeding grounds.
Voilà. Maintenant, lorsqu'il a fallu exploiter ce gaz, ils ont construit comment dirais-je, comment on appelle, le hub.
Station,
voilà.
Yeah, so when they found all the gas, they built an enormous platform out there.
Ils l'ont construit sur le plus grand récif naturel, eau profonde, en Afrique de l'Ouest.
They built it over the largest natural fishing grounds on off the coast of West Africa. They built it directly inside that natural resource.
Voilà, ce récif partait de la Mauritanie jusqu'au Sénégal.
It's huge. It runs from the country of Mauritania down into Senegal, and they built it on top of the natural reef.
Et c'est ce récif, c'est là où ils ont mis la plateforme, le hub. Et ce récif, je vous dis une chose, pourquoi c'est important ce récif?
And I need to tell you, why is the reef so important? You might ask, why is the reef so important to us?
Vous savez, nous sommes un peuple de pêcheurs. Et la pêche, c'est un héritage. Nos arrière grands-parents, ils n'ont fait que la pêche. Maintenant,
our ancestors and our ancestors before us were fishermen. Nobody has done anything but fish in my family for hundreds of years.
Maintenant, moi, mon père, my father, mon père, nous sommes nés, nous avons appris la pêche au niveau de ces récifs-là. On a appris à pêcher au niveau du récif. Le récif, on l'appelle chez nous, Jatara.
So we all learned how to fish out there, and my father taught me how to fish out there, and the name of the reef is called Jatara. Yeah, that's what we call that specific location off of the beach, Jatara.
Donc chez nous, quand tu dis je vais à Jatara, on sait où tu vas.
Yeah, and this is a location for us. When you tell people I'm going to go fish out at Jatara, people knew that specific place before then. My father used to fish there.
Maintenant, ils sont là, c'est ces récifs-là qu'ils ont pris.
Now they've taken it.
Oui. Les multinationales, ils l'ont pris.
The multinational corporations, they've taken the entire reef.
Et l'État du Sénégal aussi. Ils ont pris ces récifs-là. Mais, on nous a dit que, comment vous pouvez venir? Parce qu'avant le gaz, il y avait le poisson.
Yeah, before the gas station was there, there were so many fish.
Vous venez? Vous prenez notre zone de pêche.
You came here and you took our fishing ground.
Mais nous, qu'est-ce qu'on va faire, nous?
Yeah, well, what are we going to do now?
Donc, on va aller chômer.
So, where should we go now?
On va mourir de faim.
Are we just going to die of hunger?
Donc, ils n'ont rien. Ils nous ont pas proposé d'autres alternatives.
Then they never gave us any alternatives. Si c'est possible, est-ce que tu peux expliquer ce que tu m'as conseillé? When they first came, they did an environmental impact report, and they met with the fishing communities, and they promised them, we're going to build you 12 artificial reefs to reinstate your fishing grounds because we know this is important to you. And so it made they also told them that it was going to be 60 kilometers offshore. And next thing they know, they're building a 1 kilometer offshore directly on the fishing grounds. And that station has been installed for 8 years, and they have not built a single reef. Aucun récif. So these enormous corporations, BP is out there too. The British oil company is out there too. The fishing community has received nothing.
Let me pause here and let me ask questions, and then Maud can continue.
Sure.
So there are a few questions that I want to ask. So before the corporations came, Amadou mentioned climate change and how the quality of the sea lives were changing at the time. So my question is, how much of this is due to climate change, and how much of this is due to the actions of the corporations and the government of Mauritania building over this reef?
An important question. Bon, I will tell him the question specifically. Il dit que avant que tu aies commencé à parler du gaz, tu as parlé du changement climatique et l'érosion côtière.
Oui.
Et il voudrait savoir combien de les problèmes à Langue de Barry sont à cause du changement climatique et combien de les problèmes sont à cause du nouveau station de gaz.
Ce sont les problèmes de changement climatique et l'érosion côtière qui sont venus avant.
All the climate change and coastal erosion was happening long before the gas station came. We were struggling.
On a commencé à vivre ces problèmes
before that time too.
Bientôt.
With, even without the gas station, oui, the homes are being flooded. For the last 15 years, waves have been slowly swallowing up the homes along the peninsula.
Donc ces problèmes sont là. Donc nous avons connu ce qu'on ne connaissait pas avant, des réfugiés climatiques, des gens, des parents de ma communauté ont quitté la langue Barbary.
And so for a long time now, because our homes have been destroyed, my mother, my father, all of us have been slowly leaving the langue de Barbary because you can't live there now because the ocean is flooding it.
Ils ont allé d'autres villages, nouveaux villages sont apparus, Harialla et apparus.
So people have been relocated to an internal refugee camp called Harialla. There's about 1,000 people living at Harialla. And then there's a second refugee camp called Jogbo.
Ouais.
And about 11,000 people
Mais
have
Harialla
been...
est venu avant, après, yeah. après Harialla, Jogbo.
And so a lot of people are being relocated slowly to Jogbo. And the World Bank donated a $93 million grant for that second refugee camp. And so a lot of the fishing families from Langue de Barbary are slowly relocating out to Jogbo. But it's not perfect out there. That place has a lot of problems. And Harialla was actually the subject of the Human Rights Watch report because conditions in Harialla are so bad. And so the fishermen are leaving one bad situation and then being kind of put into a second bad housing situation.
Okay. Maintenant, après le changement climatique, donc l'érosion côtière, parce que la mer a emporté le sable, emporté
yeah.
les habitations.
So because of the climate change and because of the erosion, coastal erosion, it's washed a ton of sand up into the houses and taken down the houses. And so it's destroying the homes along the beach.
Maintenant l'eau de mer, quand il pénètre les terres, c'est-à-dire qu'il pénètre les mangroves.
And so now the salt water is flooding mangrove
yes.
Collections that it didn't used to reach. And so it's also flooding mangrove fields ah. out there too.
Maintenant, vous savez, nous, comme la langue Barbary est une zone, nous sommes dans une comment dire, delta.
Yeah, and so because the langue de Barbary is kind of like a peninsula.
Ah. Donc le fleuve est là, la mer est là.
Yeah, you have the river on one side and the ocean on the other side.
Maintenant, la mer est venue vers le fleuve.
So the ocean has gotten so high that it has flooded almost the whole peninsula, almost all the way to the river.
Maintenant, quand l'eau de mer se mélange avec l'eau du fleuve, ça crée un autre système. Ça tue beaucoup de choses.
Yeah, and so when the salt water mixes with the fresh water, it's creating a new water system, and it's killing the fish species that used to have just salt water and just fresh water.
Let me ask him this. Can you speak to some of the intervention, as particularly the 2003 bridge, where they've tried to create an emergency bridge on the Seine? How much did that either contributed to the crisis, or what impact does it have on the crisis?
Yeah, the 2003 bridge. I can speak to that. It might be faster if I just say what happened. So in 2003, the river was rising along the Senegalese River, and people were worried that it was about to flood the city of Saint Louis. And so a group of people hidden went in the night and dug a trench all through the Langue de Barbary between the ocean and the river to try to let the river water out so that the city didn't flood. But what happened instead was that the ocean came roaring in and it got into that trench and it began widening that trench. And eventually that trench became several kilometers wide and it began the total destruction of the peninsula because it began flooding the peninsula because now there was a connection between the ocean and the river. And so the Langue de Barbary is also losing ground because of that breach between the ocean and the river.
So the next question
decision.
Is
they should obviously not have done that. It was a terrible decision and it ruined a lot.
So I guess my question is, who are the people in charge? Because when Mamadou was speaking, you used a lot of they came, and when you're talking about this bridge as well, You said a group of people. So who are these people? Who are people that have been responding to this?
In 2003, it's different people. Yeah, it's different people for each thing. So in 2003, they never figured out who did that because they did it illegally. But they think it was people from the city who were worried that their homes were about to flood along the river. But
Can Mamadou speak to that? Is he aware of the situation? Does he know?
Okay, bon. Il parle de le en 2003, quand les gens avaient on a créé une tranche entre la mer et la fleuve.
Et la mer est
venue inonder. Et il veut savoir, c'était qui a créé une ligne entre la mer et la fleuve? C'était qui était responsable pour ça?
Lorsqu'il y avait eu la montée des eaux, l'État est venu. L'État est venu. On a pris les gens qui...
Ça a disparu le langue de Barbarie. C'est une tranche quoi qu'on a construit. Ça fait quelques années passées que on a. C'était pendant une saison d'inondation.
Oui. Pendant, parce qu'en 2010, Saint-Louis était inondé.
Voilà.
Et il y avait une inondation.
Uh-huh.
Il y avait la pluie.
Oui.
Il y avait de fortes pluies.
Oui.
Maintenant, Saint-Louis était inondé. Maintenant, comme Saint-Louis était indonné, il fallait que l'État, pour trouver une solution pour Saint-Louis, ils ont percé une brèche.
Voilà, une brèche.
La brèche.
Ouais.
La brèche a été percée au niveau de la langue de Babari.
Oui. Oui.
Entre le fleuve et la mer.
Ouais.
Ils ont fait une brèche sans étude, rien du tout.
Oui.
Et lorsqu'ils ont percé la brèche,
ouais,
la brèche a entraîné que la mer a trouvé une porte.
Voilà.
Une porte.
Ouais. Donc il faut savoir c'était qui a créé le brèche quoi.
La brèche c'était l'État.
Okay, he said it was the state. The state was the ones who came and dug that ridge, and they did it without any kind of a study, and they just came in and did it, and it caused an enormous amount of disaster.
Sans étude d'impact.
There was no study of impact. They just did it in the night.
You know,
it's good to clarify that. No. Yeah.
Ils l'ont percé dans la précipitation.
Yeah, they were really, really worried because the city was about to flood.
Maintenant, lorsqu'ils ont percé, ils ont percé une canal de 10 mètres.
Yeah, so they made a canal of a couple meters wide. Mais, and then the, you comprend tout.
Mais une heure de temps après, les 10 mètres, ça a fait 1 kilomètre.
Yeah, and so then the ocean flooded it and began widening that breach until it was like several kilometers wide now.
La mer a commencé à agir.
Yeah, so the sea grew it until it also made the
la mer a emporté des villages entiers.
Yeah.
Dans le Gagnon. Oh, no.
There was a village that used to be there and it swallowed the entire village that was next to the beach right there. The whole village is just gone now.
La mer a emporté des forêts entières.
It took away the whole forest too that was right there.
Voilà. Since we're talking about the human cost and the economic cost of it, let me dwell on that so that you can expand on it. So what is the scope? I know you started speaking about it. What is the scope of this human toll? And what is the level of...
What is the scope of the what?
The human toll.
Okay.
Like you were giving me numbers before. You were talking about in Jogoob, you said there are about 11,000 people in the Jogoob camp. And then you mentioned Hariola, you said about 1,000. So first of all, what is the number of the villagers before the crisis?
Before what?
What are the losses in terms of human lives? Have had any losses? I know we've lost homes. And lastly, is there any level, the level of activism, has it ever transformed into insurgency like we've seen in other places, like
the level of what?
the activism, what's the level of activism towards this conflict? Or has
like
it also protest? Has it turned into, or does it have the potential of turning into insurgency, like we see in with the Boko Haram across Lake Chad Basin and stuff like
so that's two questions. Let me translate. So, il dit qu'il veut savoir la cote de la vie humaine. Donc, tu as parlé de 1000 personnes qui sont à Khayala. Il y a 11 000 personnes qui sont à Djobo. Et il veut savoir, est-ce qu'il y a des gens morts à cause de tout ce chaos? Est-ce qu'il y a une totalité des morts à cause de la langue babri et l'inondation? Est-ce qu'il y a un numéro des morts?
Bon, je ne peux pas dire. Il y a un chiffre qui est là.
I don't really know if there's a statistic like that.
Mais ce dont je suis sûr et je suis témoin.
But you know what I could really tell you with my own eyes.
Des familles se sont dispersées.
A lot of families have been disorganized and dispersed.
Des gens ont perdu leur travail.
People have lost their work and their homes.
Des gens qui avant avaient de quoi vivre sont devenus des pauvres.
People who used to be really wealthy have totally lost their livelihood and they're poor now.
Et quand tu es pauvre, tu n'as même pas de quoi te soigner.
And when you're poor, it's a lot harder to take care of your family.
Mais quand tu meurs, tu meurs.
And if you're sick, then you just die. Like, you can't go to the hospital.
Il y a eu des gens qui ont quitté, parce que la langue babari, imagine-toi, tu es né, tu as grandi.
Imagine if you were just born out of the Langue de Babari.
Et jusqu'à 40 ans, 45 ans.
Until for like 40, 45 years old.
Toi, tu ne connais que la mer. On t'amène à 25 kilomètres de la mer.
You don't know anything else but the sea, but fishing. You never went to school. Fishing is your only livelihood. Now they are displacing people like that to go to this Djobo, which is 20 kilometers away.
Ouais.
You're not near the sea anymore. You don't have the ocean breeze anymore.
On te donne pas des moyens de transport. Si tu veux aller
you can't
à la pêche,
come back either because there's no public transportation between Djobo and the Langue de Babari. And so people have to pay like more than they can afford to get public taxi back to the Langue de Babari.
Ton matériel, le matériel.
All of your fishing equipment.
Le matériel avec lequel tu vas en mer.
Yeah.
Mais c'est dispersé, ça veut dire qu'on le vole parce que c'est pas en sécurité.
Yeah, so what also happened when they took that 11,000 people out to Djobo was they left their fishing equipment here because you can't bring all of your fishing canoes with you. And so when 11,000 people leave their equipment on the beach, they had to construct these makeshift shelters to store like their boat motors, their nets, their fishing storage coolers. And so all along the beach, you can see these makeshift shelters, but they're not secure. And so a ton of their fishing equipment has been stolen by other people who know that there's no one nearby anymore to like secure the makeshift shelter for. So there's a lot of people had to leave their boats there too, because they're not going to take their boat and go put it at Djobo. And so their boat is also unprotected.
Nos épouses, les femmes.
Yeah.
Qui faisait, qui transformait le poisson.
A lot of the women who used to process the fish here.
Ils ont perdu d'abord le site là où on transmet parce que la mer l'a amené.
First of all, now they can't process or smoke the fish along the beach because their home is gone.
Maintenant tu l'amènes à 25.
And now those same women are also 25 kilometers over in Djobo with no fish, and they don't know what to do with themselves. That was what they needed to do to work.
Il n'a plus d'activité. Pour avoir de l'argent, il n'a plus.
They don't have anything else to earn money with.
Mamadou mentioned something. Oh, okay. Mamadou mentioned something.
The fish are also becoming scarcer. Yeah, go ahead.
There's something he mentioned early on. One of the government intervention was to create an artificial reef. He said it created about just 1 kilometer. Where was that created? Is that an alternative coast, or is it the same coast?
Is it a what?
Where did they create the alternative reef? Where was the government going to create the alternative reef?
So, I can answer that. They were going to create 12 artificial reefs, and they have done these studies after study since they promised that, and they keep saying, oh, this place that we thought would work won't work. This place we thought would work, it can't work. And now they're down to one location that they're still saying could work. And that location has yet to see any construction. Hold on, I'm going to translate. Ils disent que, qu'est-ce qui a passé avec les récifs? Et je leur dis qu'on a promis deux récifs. Mais depuis ce moment, on n'a rien à construire. On n'a pas encore construit un récif, quoi.
Les multinationales, lorsque il y a eu le conflit avec les pêcheurs.
Yeah, the multinational corporations, they know they're having the conflict with the fishermen.
Parce que les multinationales, ils ont volé yeah. les zones de pêche des
they
pêcheurs.
They stole our fishing grounds.
Bon, lorsqu'on est l'État, le gouverneur, l'État est venu arbitrer, pour, il a dit au multinational, donc vous avez tort, donc il faut essayer de trouver des solutions alternatives.
Yeah, the government came and tried to arbitrate the conflict, and he said, look, you stole their fishing grounds, now you need to offer them an alternative.
Ils avaient proposé d'autres solutions, mais la seule alternative, nous qui nous intéresse en tant que pêcheurs,
yeah.
c'est d'avoir des zones de pêche.
They offered us a lot of alternatives, but the only alternative we wanted was to have another alternative fishing reef
voilà.
where the fish can reproduce.
Où nous pouvons pêcher.
Yeah, where we can fish.
Ils avaient promis de faire 12 récifs. 12.
They promised us 12 reefs.
12.
Yeah.
12 récifs.
Yeah.
Dans un premier temps.
Yeah. The first time they promised us 12 reefs.
Ils sont revenus. Ils ont diminué. Ils ont dit qu'ils vont faire 6.
Okay, then they came back and said, actually, we're just going to do 6.
Mais, et ça, depuis 2019. Et au dernier moment, ils sont revenus pour dire qu'ils peuvent faire qu'un seul chiffre, qu'un seul.
Then after 2019, they came back again and said, actually, we're just going to do one reef.
Mais nous, on a dit, mais vous là, c'est pas ça que vous aviez dit.
Hey, you guys didn't know. That is not what your promise was originally.
Vous êtes en train de revenir sur vos engagements.
You guys have earned billions and billions and billions of dollars off of this gas station since you installed it in 2019.
Maintenant, lorsqu'il a fallu faire le seul récif là,
uh-huh.
Il a fallu faire pression sur, c'est l'État qui a fait pression sur eux
yeah.
pour faire le récif.
And so now because they have offered just one reef, the state is pressuring them to do that one reef and they still have not built it.
Parce que vous savez, nous avec les groupes nationaux, c'est pas sérieux, franchement. Ils n'ont jamais respecté la langue.
The multinational corporations do not take us seriously at all. They do not respect
jamais.
Us. They don't respect their promises, then they don't respect the community of fishermen who live here. They do not think we are serious people.
Nous avons fait des marches.
We did protests.
Nous avons fait des points de presse.
We held press releases.
Nous avons fait une grève de la faim.
We even did a hunger strike.
Les femmes
yeah.
sont sorties dans la rue.
Our women ran out into the street.
Pour appeler l'État. Pour BP pour que les multinationales respectent les engagements
protesting that the multinational corporations would keep any of the promises that they made here.
Mais rien du tout.
Nothing happened.
Jusqu'à présent.
Until now, they have not offered us a single thing.
Et ils disent qu'ils ont fait un récif. Ils le disent.
They have promised, okay, we'll give you one reef.
Mais on a dit que mais si vous faites quelque chose pour nous, mais il faut nous associer.
Okay, well, if you have done this, j'ai pas compris.
Si eux, ils font le récif pour nous, les pêcheurs,
uh-huh, uh-huh.
mais il faut que nous avons la bonne information pour que nous...
Okay, so also, if you're going to make this reef, you guys need to inform us and let us know what you're doing right now.
Mais rien du tout.
They have not told us a single thing.
Même lorsqu'il a fallu faire ces récifs-là, à la main, ils n'ont même pas informé le ministère de la pêche.
They still haven't told the minister of the government of natural resources, of the government of Senegal, they have still not informed him. Where the reef is going to be or what they're going to do.
Donc,
il a une question.
Just let me ask a question. Now, there is about one of the key things that is coming here is agency. And the agency is, so first of all, I can get a sense, but I'm still going to ask him, how does Mamadou see the multinational company? The multinational company, the paradox of the fishermen, the fisher people being displaced, And then on the same coastline, you're seeing multinational, you're seeing this gas station being built in this place. How does it perceive? Does it perceive it as a paradox, as an irony? Because the language I see is they stole this land from us. So does it believe that something could have been done, that is this a ploy to take their land from them? And I'm getting that sense. So if you can expatiate on that. Then the second question would be...
Can you put that question together again for me, Michael?
So the question is, how... So when we started off the question, there was a question of there's a natural cause. There's the flooding, sea rising and all of that, which is undeniable. But then surprisingly, on the same land, we're building this gas station. The government of Mauritania and the government of Senegal are building this gas station. So how does he see this as an irony? Does he believe that this is a ploy to steal the fishermen's land from them? So how does he perceive that? Does he see it as a deliberate attempt to steal the land from them? Or does he see it as an opportunistic investment from the multinational corporations that are
building this? So I just want to clarify your question. When you say stealing the land from them, do you mean the fishing grounds where they built the gas station? Or do you mean
yes,
the actual
land? I'm going from what Mamadou says. Yes. So what he said is they came and built on our fishing reef. So I wanted to see, is this seeing all of these as a deliberate attempt to displace them, or does he see it as an opportunistic investment from the multinational corporations or the people that build this gas station?
Yeah, I understand. Can I say your question back to you to make sure I'm understanding? You're saying, do you think that these multinational corporations want to intentionally drive everyone off the Long de Barbary, or did they just want to get the natural gas as an opportunistic opportunity? Is that your question?
No. So you got the first bit. The second bit is, was it opportunistic for them? Was it a question where they said, oh, these people have been displaced, now let's take this land for ourselves? That's where the opportunism comes.
Okay.
Or was this
no,
a deliberate
No, I can answer that. No, it was independent of the decision to build the natural gas plant came around because they discovered the natural gas under the sea. And whether there had been fishermen on the beach or not, that did not really influence their decision. They just wanted that when they found that. They were not, they didn't feel like, oh, the fishermen are leaving, now we can build a gas station here. That's not what happened. They discovered the natural gas and then just said, we're going to take this, we're going to build here. And they didn't really care how many, there are still 80,000 people living on the Long de Barbary. There are still thousands and thousands of people out there.
So the question to Mamadou then would be, why is the government of Senegal, why are they being absolved from this situation? Because it seems like the bulk of the blame, from what I'm hearing, is the multinational companies or the multinational organizations. Why are the states or the government of Senegal not receiving the same? Because they have the primary responsibility towards the people of Langue de Barbary.
Can I translate? Would it help if I just translated that question as like, hey, what do you see the role of the state in this conflict with the multinational corporations?
Is that
a good translation?
Sure.
Bon, tu as parlé de ce que les multinational corporations, on a volé les récifs, on est là, on a construit la station de gaz. Mais il dit que la responsabilité est le, peut-être c'est l'État et le gouvernement du Sénégal. Donc, il te demande quel est le rôle de l'État et dans cette arbitration. Pourquoi on n'a pas intervenu pour les pêcheurs?
Parce que l'État et les multinationales sont complices.
The state and the multinational companies are working together.
Le projet.
Yeah, that project.
GTA. C'est
GTA.
Une part pour les multinationales. Et une part pour les États, Mauritanie, Sénégal.
Yeah, it was a triple partnership between the multinational corporations like BP, the government of Senegal, and the government of Mauritania. And so the governments get some money from the natural gas that's coming from that station.
So my question then will be, okay, go on.
They're on the same team.
Go on, Jason. Are they on the same team? So the question then will be, how is the people of the fishermen, did they have any intention of internationalizing their conflict or taking that conflict to either the UN or the AU or stuff like, who is helping them negotiate, do this negotiation from 12 Reef to 1 Reef? Who is mediating these negotiations?
Ils disent que maintenant, si le gouvernement est ensemble avec les corporations, est-ce que vous avez l'aide de la Nation Unie ou bien UNESCO? Est-ce qu'il y a une autre branche de puissance qui vous aide?
Oui, il y a la société civile.
Le?
La société civile.
There's a civil society.
Oui, qui nous aide.
That's helping them.
Donc, il y a un ONG du nom de SINDEV.
There's also another ONG. NGO called SINDEV that's SINDEV. Helping them.
Yeah, CAJUST.
There's also another one called CAJUST.
CAJUST. Yeah, aussi Lex Africa.
There's also Lex Africa.
Donc, ce sont les ONG, ils sont avec les communautés.
Yeah, there's some ONGs who have stepped in to try to help them.
Donc, ils nous aident à porter des plaidoyers, ils nous aident à avoir des documents.
They help them put together some documents of their situation.
Et la dernière, on a porté plainte. Au niveau de l'OCDE contre BP.
Porter plainte, c'est quoi?
Plainte, c'est. Comment dire? Dénoncer.
Mm-hmm.
On a dénoncé
mm-hmm.
BP et mm-hmm. Cosmos, mm-hmm. les multinationales, au niveau de Londres.
And they also wrote letters of protest to people in London for them. Qui est au Londres? Qui est?
OCDE.
OCDE?
Oui.
I don't know what that
OECD.
Is.
OECD. It's OECD.
Yeah.
I've seen the report. Oh, it's an organization of economic countries development.
Yeah,
it's like
the,
a it's
the
like EU.
Also
EU.
Wrote some protests. Yeah. Sorry, what did you say?
It's like an EU economic and development kind of like committee. OECD.
Yeah.
OECD.
Yeah, okay.
The Bureau de Londres.
Yeah, their office is in London and they wrote some protest letters to them too.
Right.
So these organizations, are they local organizations? The
SINDEV and CAJUST, all of those are local organizations.
Oui, local.
Yeah, ils sont local.
Ouais. Ils sont des Sénégalais comme moi.
Ouais, they're Senegalese organizations
voilà.
that are helping Senegalese.
Mais c'est eux, ils nous aident.
They're trying to help us.
À comprendre d'abord les problèmes.
And also they're trying to understand the problem.
Ils nous aident à porter les plaidoyers, à faire des marches.
They also helped us hold the protests.
Ouais.
Yeah.
Et c'est eux qui nous ont aidés pour pouvoir contacter OCDE Londres.
They also helped us contact the office in London, OCDE.
On a déposé un document.
And send them a protest letter from us.
Un document de 25 pages.
They sent a 25-page document of the situation to the bureau in London.
Sur le conflit qui nous oppose.
And also about the conflict that these fishermen are facing.
Ils l'ont accepté. Et ils ont accepté de faire une médiation entre nous
yeah.
et eux, les multinationales.
And so OECD said that yes, we will do some arbitration for you between the multi corporations and the fishing associations.
Mais
let me ask Mamadou. So
oh, yeah.
in the event, because Mamadou has said there's nothing. They want other than to have the fishing ground. So in the event where, due to climate change, it is not humanly possible, like it's a risk to humans to have the fishing ground. What
Sorry,
kind of
Michael, can you it's very noisy here. Can you repeat that again?
Yeah, I know Mamadou said earlier on that they've made some offer to them, but any offer that is short of them having the fishing ground, we not do so. But in the event where it is dangerous to fish in Langue de Barbary, what other alternative does this see that is viable? Do we have any other coastal city around Senegal or what kind of, do they have to be retrained? I know these people have been fishing all their life. What does he see in terms of life, risks to life, and then what they've always known in terms of fishing? Does he think that there's a solution that is viable in terms of, well, let me ask, what are the viable solutions towards dealing with this coastal problem? Do you think it's a viable, there's a viable solution environmentally, or, you know, is there a way they can build these reefs attend to this
issue? Il a demandé, bon, on te posait une solution alternative de récif, et c'est ça qui vous intéresse. Mais ça, si ça ne marche pas, et si la pêche ne marche pas, qu'est-ce que tu penses ce sont une bonne solution qui peut résoudre le problème pour les communautés de pêche? Est-ce qu'il y a une alternative chemie de vie? Est-ce que tu peux chercher des autres jobs, quoi? Quelle est une bonne solution pour la langue de barbarie?
Bon, selon moi, ça c'est mon avis.
In my opinion.
Les solutions, il ne peut pas y avoir une seule solution. Mais des solutions, des.
You could have multiple solutions.
Parce que une communauté, ce sont des hommes, ce sont des femmes.
In our community, we have women and men.
Ce sont des jeunes.
And also young people.
Et chaque tranche d'âge a ses réalités.
Every age has its own reality. Every populated part, men, women, and children also all have their own like way of living.
Les pêcheurs, qu'est-ce qu'ils demandent? Ils demandent.
What are the fishermen asking for?
Une mer poissonneuse. Là, ils demandent.
We want a sea that's abundant with fish.
Les pêcheurs n'ont pas besoin de travailler dans le gaz, c'est pas nous.
We don't want to work for the gas station.
On n'a pas besoin.
We do not need that. We do not want to be involved with those people.
Nous voulons qu'on nous restitue nos zones de pêche.
We want them to give us back our fishing grounds.
Et il y a des solutions pour cela. Il y a la pisciculture.
Le?
L'élevage de poissons. On peut élever des poissons en mer.
J'ai pas bien compris.
On peut élever, élevage. Aquaculture.
Ouais. You also have aquaculture where you raise your own fish, like you farm your own fish out in the sea.
Dans d'autres pays.
In other countries, they do that.
Norvège, par exemple.
Yeah, like in Norway.
Ils exploitent la mer. Ils ont des sociétés de poissons, fishermen, des coopératives.
Yeah.
On peut organiser le pêcheur et faire de telles sortes que le poisson revient, le pêcheur a du poisson. Il y a de quoi vivre, il y a de quoi nourrir sa famille.
Et so, je voudrais être sûr que je te comprends bien. Tu dis que dans d'autres pays, il y a une grande collaboration entre les pêcheurs qui peut mieux. Qu'est-ce que tu dis? J'ai pas bien compris.
Dans d'autres pays, comme Norvège,
ouais.
Ils ont du gaz, comme nous.
Ouais.
Les ressources du gaz.
Ouais.
Il y a une pourcentage. Qui est donné au pêcheur, un pourcentage dans le gaz, un bénéfice qui est donné au pêcheur. Et cet argent-là va dans la pêche. Comment? Ils organisent ce qu'on appelle la pisciculture, c'est-à-dire qu'on élève des poissons.
Ok, so he said, look, in other countries you have fishing industry living at the same side as like a gas. The gas industry. So in Norway, they have these same two things, but the gas industry has to pay a tax to the fishing communities and the fishing industries. And in Norway, what they did with that is they built a bunch of aquaculture farms where they began farming fish. And so the fishing industry lives peaceably with the natural gas industry because it's funding a lot of the fishing industry there. And so that could also be an alternative for what we're doing here in Senegal.
Ça, c'est le pêcheur. Maintenant, les jeunes.
Okay, so that's for the fishermen. But exemple, for our youth, the youth of our community.
Par exemple, moi, mes enfants.
Yeah, my children.
Mais ils peuvent devenir des techniciens de gaz.
They might become a gas technician one day that wants to work at the gas station.
Si on leur donne la chance d'être à l'école, d'avoir une bonne formation, ils peuvent apprendre un métier, ce métier-là.
But if they were willing to, say, fund the education of our children, they could learn a different trade and do okay if they were willing to, for example, pay for the education of our children.
Et là c'est une solution si ton enfant a un job,
yeah.
Il travaille, il a des revenus. Il peut s'occuper de lui et s'occuper de ses parents.
And so if he had a different education or a different, you know, doctorate or a different degree, he could work in a different way for his mom and for his mother and father.
Voilà. Les femmes.
And for the women.
Les women.
Yeah.
Ils ont des activités qui dépendent, parce que la pêche, c'est une chaîne.
Yeah, the fishing community here, it's like a chain. You have the fishers and then you have the women who process the fish. And so it leaves out the women too when the fishing industry is not doing well.
Donc, on peut trouver des solutions pour eux.
You could also find a solution for the women.
Ils peuvent être des chefs d'entreprise.
They could be chefs. They could do some kind of like independent restaurant.
Il y a ce qu'on appelle le contenu local.
Mm-hmm.
Local content.
Mm-hmm.
Exploitation gaz.
Mm-hmm.
Là où il y a le local content, le contenu local. Ils peuvent fournir les mines nationales en poisson. Ils peuvent acheter, les sociétés achètent nos produits de nos épouses et femmes.
Tu veux que les stations de gaz achètent les produits des femmes?
J'ai dit, parce que les stations de gaz, ils emploient un personnel. Le hub.
Ouais.
C'est comme un village.
Uh-huh.
Les gens vivent là-bas.
Uh-huh.
Ils mangent.
Uh-huh.
Ils mangent, n'est-ce pas?
Oui, oui, oui.
Mais
celui qui travaille à la station de gaz,
oui,
en Taco.
Ils mangent.
Oui.
Le produit, le poisson qu'ils mangent,
uh-huh,
où est-ce que ça vient?
Oui.
On ne sait pas.
OK, so the gas station has a whole village of employees that live on the beach. And those people are Senegalese and they have to eat the employees of the gas station. He said, why doesn't that city come and buy the fish that our women are still processing at the fish market? They could come here and exclusively buy our local fish here from the women who are bringing it up from the beach. That would also support us because the women have so much less fish to sell these days. That entire city of employees could come support us.
Let me, Jocelyn, unfortunately we have limited time and I'm going to ask the last question. But I like the fact that, you know, the fishermen are open to other alternatives. So I guess my question would then be, so to you first. So we've seen the international dimension of this, where not just gas stations, we've seen, natural resources, we've seen in the Congo, where natives are displaced and, you know, people are building mines. We've seen in Nigeria, the Niger Delta. We've seen in all of these places, and we've seen the impact. So what message does...
Au Nigeria, nous avons vu le Niger Delta. Nous avons beaucoup de destruction et le chaos à cause du change climat et aussi la destruction de l'environnement.
So what message does Mamadou have for... To conclude, what message does he have for the international community? I've said this.
Comme je te conseillais, c'est maintenant, c'est le temps pour appeler à les gens pour vous aider. Qu'est-ce que tu veux? Est-ce que tu veux de l'argent? Qu'est-ce que tu veux?
Oui.
Yeah, what message again does he have for the Senegalese government?
Yeah, I asked him. Tu as quel message pour les lecteurs internationaux et aussi quelle aide est-ce que tu veux?
Voilà. Le message, c'est simple.
My message is simple.
Ce projet de GTA, c'est un scandale.
The gas station built off of our beach is a total scandal.
C'est un projet qui viole les droits de l'homme.
It's violating our human rights.
C'est un projet qui enlève la dignité à des personnes qui n'ont rien
demandé. It's taking away our human dignity because people are now starving on our beaches.
Et si ça continue comme ça, on va vers des conflits.
If this continues like that, we are going to have a conflict.
Parce que dans d'autres pays, c'est comme ça. Par exemple, au Nigeria, les gens sont en conflit avec eux.
In Nigeria, right now, you have armed conflict with the gas corporations there.
Et nous ne voulons pas.
We don't want.
Nous ne voulons pas que le gaz nous sacrifie.
You don't want the gas stations to sacrifice us.
Voilà, c'est ça que nous. On appelle la communauté internationale.
Uh-huh. We're calling on the international community.
À venir nous aider.
Come here and help us.
À venir obliger
come here
les multinationales
and require the international company
à respecter leurs engagements
to respect the promises that they made.
Oui, respecter leurs engagements.
Yeah.
La communauté internationale doit nous aider.
The international community needs to come and help us
à trouver des financements
find the finances
pour nos femmes
who are women.
Qui sont à Jogo.
And the women who have been displaced at Jogo in a refugee camp.
Les pêcheurs qui sont actuellement, ils n'ont même pas où garder leur matériel à cause
and
de ce
the
projet.
Fishermen also whose equipment is going unprotected out on the beaches.
Les jeunes, les enfants, les jeunes,
yeah.
Les jeunes qui sont à Jogo.
Ouais.
Et lorsqu'ils sont ici, la journée, parce qu'ils passent la nuit là-bas,
mm-hmm.
mais leur école c'est ici.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine-toi, tu quittes 25
and
heures.
Also the youth that are got moved out to Jogo have to come all the way back to the Langue de Barbarie to get a free education.
Oui.
They have to come every day for their transportation to get an education.
Donc
here.
Si on ne peut pas t'assurer une cantine, là où, par exemple, à 13
heures. Il faut focaliser le message.
Voilà.
Simplifier.
Si on peut les aider uh-huh. à avoir des projets pour les maintenir à l'école, parce qu'ils vont abandonner.
J'ai pas bien compris.
Les enfants.
Uh-huh.
Si on ne peut pas, parce qu'à Jogo.
Tu veux une école à Jogo?
Ils n'ont pas d'école là-bas.
Voilà.
Le projet a une école, mais ce n'est pas encore fonctionnel.
D'accord.
Mais pour l'instant, ils font la navette.
Oui, je
Jogo
comprends.
Et ici.
Donc, qu'est-ce que tu veux?
Mais il faut qu'on puisse les aider à avoir des cantines.
Cantine, c'est quoi?
Là où ils peuvent manger
okay, d'accord.
à 13 heures.
Uh-huh,
pour pouvoir continuer leur cours jusqu'à l'après-midi. Et après, ils vont rentrer chez eux.
And they also, at the school that's out here, they would like it to have a cafeteria for the kids.
Voilà.
Because the kids go, thousands of kids who come out here to go to school, they can't eat all day because there's no cafeteria at the school that they built out here for
et,
the kids.
Et j'appelle pour qu'on les aide à avoir des bus de transport.
I'm also asking that they would begin a public bus transportation system between Jogo and the Langue de Barbarie because that would enormously help out the thousands of people who still depend on the fishing industry out here and but live for free in government housing out in Jogo and Harjala. So there is actually a nonprofit right now that has got some funds to start a public bus transportation system between Langue de Barbarie and Harjala. But it's a very tiny system and I don't think that it funds a lot of things.
It's
really hard for people, he says.
Difficile.
Yeah.
Surtout le matin.
Especially in
well,
the mornings.
Merci.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, Jocelyn, it's Mamadou has been, and I believe, to be honest with you, I believe these are very valid and legitimate demands. And this is demands that the people of Langue de Barbarie really deserve, and shouldn't even be begging for. This is like Mamadou said. This is their human rights, and the human rights needs to be. Unfortunately, we don't have enough time to, we don't have enough time to continue. So we're just going to wrap it up here, and hopefully, the people that need to hear this will hear this, and this will give enough visibility to the situation in.
Yes, and I can also send a link to an organization that is funding a public bus transportation system between Harjala refugee camp and the Langue de Barbarie. There's an American NGO that pays for that. If you want me to send you the link. Yeah.
Yes, please do. Yeah, please do. Thank you very much, Mamadou. I really, really appreciate your time.
Merci
your passion.
Thank you so much for this opportunity
to
come here and speak with you.
Et aussi, merci à
and thank you to Jocelyn.
À Jocelyn. Voilà, c'est vraiment une chic femme, vraiment, franchement.
It's really have. I'm really happy to have her here.
Merci. Et vous
thank
aussi,
you very
Michael,
much.
Merci.
And also, thank you,
yeah,
Michael.
Merci.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, have a great day. Yeah, bye.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Thank you for tuning in today to an important topic. This is the first time that we're going to be having recording a podcast in a different language. But join me to thank Jocelyn, Dr. Jocelyn Lemke, a fellow and a friend who have graciously volunteered to interpret and translate Mamadou's statement from French to English for us. Join me as well as usual to thank Mamadou Sa for his passionate comment and statement on the plight, the sad and unfortunate plight of the fishing community of Langue de Barbary in the historical coastal city of Saint Louis in Senegal. For now, stay blessed and I'll see you next week.